I can hear the fear. I understand what she's going through. It's the nightmare that all ship crews live with, on every trip, that something will go wrong with the routing, something so severe that they'll end up on the very edge of the network, that they'll end up so far from home that getting back will take years, not months, and that, of course, years will have passed even before they begin the return trip, that loved ones will be years young, that loved ones will be years older when they reach home. If they're still there, if they still remember you, or want to remember, if they're still recognizable or alive. Beyond the Aquila Rift, it's shorthand for the trip no one ever hopes to make by accident.
Okay, that was an extract from Beyond the Aquila Rift, which is what we will be discussing on episode 9 of the Book Boys podcast.
We're getting close.
And we're getting close to that befamed episode 10.
It's exciting. Oh, that book was by Alistair Reynolds.
Alistair Overeem?
No. But yeah, so this is quite a different book than our usual selection.
I call it a short story. I won't call it a book.
I don't know. It was longer than the shorter story. Okay. I'd say it's a medium story.
Okay, fair enough. A medium story it
is. If we get the middle. Yeah. So I was the one who had the idea.
Indeed.
So because there's this new TV show on Netflix called Love, Death, and Robots, which is an animated series, which I thought was very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the episodes really struck me as being very interesting. And when the credits rolled by, it said that it was based on a short story, which
a short story.
I think so. A medium story. So it's not a credit. And so I decided to inform my co-host, Max.
Indeed.
Of the adventure that we should go on.
Yeah.
For this book.
So I guess this is kind of a little taste for what we want to do for episode 10.
Yes.
Which is not only looking at the content of both a piece of literature and then, in this case, an episode of a TV show.
Yeah.
But also, so not just the content of that, but also looking at how that is done and how literature is
adapted.
Yeah, adapted into
something,
a medium that is so different from it.
Yeah, so next one will be more on a longer version, I guess. So a movie and a book. This was more a short animated episode from a show. So maybe we should start with the plot because it's basically the whole story.
Yeah.
First, the theme is a science fiction book.
Yeah.
Which is not really what Max reads.
Yeah, I really just prefer kind of stories just set in, I think we've talked about this before, but stories set like fiction, but possible fiction. So set in real life. Because, I don't know, I think that it's just easier to relate to and easier to grasp, I guess.
Well, I've only gotten recently interested in those types of books because I used to be really into science fiction and fantasy, very like Lord of the Rings type of stuff.
Yeah.
And I've read a bunch of books like this.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the shortest one I've read in science fiction because usually science fiction, they like to build the whole world around it.
Right.
Around it.
There's a lot of exposition, which is, there's barely any of that in this.
Yeah, this is a very plot, rapid.
Yeah, exactly. And paced. It's not so much the world as just the story.
The characters and the story, But I thought that the book was more detailed than the animated.
Yeah.
They've cut off a lot of parts in the episode.
And if you, it feels like, because basically the whole gist of the story is there's people on a spaceship, I guess, and they have to deliver some sort of goods.
Yeah.
But while they're traveling in some...
When they travel, they have to get into this pod where they sleep and they go through this sort of portal, I guess, in which they reappear on the other side. It's quite a dangerous journey.
There's an issue that happens with that where they get brought to the wrong place.
Yeah. And it's a crew of three.
Yeah. And from that, the main character is kind of put in a simulation.
Yeah.
But what I wanted to say is that in this story, it seems like several times he's being like put back in the simulation, or several times he's like, he tries to awaken Susie, and that it is like, it kind of seems the story is a bit more cut up.
It's very, in the
series.
Yeah. In the series, it's very like, it happens once and that's it. Whereas in this book, it's very much more explained in detail. So the main character is called Thom, I think.
Yeah, that
it's a weird name.
But there's
Thomas.
Yeah, I when I read it, I pronounced it as Thom in my head.
Yeah, but it was a H. Spell it with an H. Yeah. I thought so too, but I wasn't sure.
But then I guess the second main character, you could call her Greta, sometimes calls him Thorn.
Yeah,
did
I think.
Did you notice that? Why is
maybe
that?
It was a mistake with the editing. I don't know.
I thought that was really odd because.
Thorn, yeah. It says Thorn. She calls him Thorn, but if.
But on the subtitles of the episode, it was also Thom and or Tom and Thorn.
Yeah, so maybe that's just, I don't know, part of the world, I guess.
Yeah, but I thought maybe they did that because. Well, because each time this reality is being reset because it's a simulation run by Greta.
Yeah.
Maybe every single time she just changes that, and maybe that's just a show to us. Like,
this could be it. Oh, yeah, that's an interesting... I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the main plot line is that they get lost on this trip, and they arrive on this, I guess, space... Station?
Of sorts, yeah.
Good timing. Space station, which is extremely far from their... world, as said in my extract. Yeah. I've read it out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's beyond the bubble, they call it in the book. The bubble of their world, and it's very far off. Like billions of years, apparently.
Yeah.
The whole when we learn at the end. Mm-hmm. But he thinks he's only a couple of years away.
Yeah. So first, when they arrive and they know something's wrong...
Well, only one of the characters... There's a three-member crew, and only one comes out. That's Thorn or Thom, the main character, who's taken out of the pod. The other two will stay in, and he meets... Greta.
Yeah.
And
he's then told that they're in this different place, but she first tells him that they went off route and they're far from where they were supposed to be.
But not too far.
Exactly.
And so he's okay.
Yeah.
And then later on, when they're talking, him and Greta, she tells him that he's actually further than they thought.
Yeah.
And his wife is dead.
Yeah.
That isn't in the animated show, by the way. I thought that was a very big deal. Katarina.
I'm pretty sure the wife isn't mentioned at all.
She's not mentioned in the animated show, and I thought that she was a big deal. Like, she was a huge part of the novel.
She was very much Thom or Thorns or whatever's connection to that world reality. And
she's his wife. And so, but then when Greta, in the book, when Greta says she died, he takes it okay.
Yeah.
And that's when she's like, oh, maybe I'll tell him more about how bad his situation is because he doesn't seem to take it that badly.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really good background because in the animated show, there's no real... attachment of him in the real world, so you don't really relate to him in any way. Whereas here, you're like, oh my god, he's lost so much.
We both watched the episode first, obviously, and I really didn't enjoy it that much. I thought the plot was quite.
I thought it was very nice.
I like the animation style, and I guess the world was well done. But I thought the plot was just a bit.
The plot was completely different. Yeah, that was the main lacking part. And then I thought the story.
When you read this, you're like, okay.
If the story had been perfectly adapted, and then, so yeah, let's continue the story. And then,
we always just like, let's get through the plot.
So, Greta and Thorn end up having sex, but they knew each other from before.
Yeah.
I think we didn't mention that, but they knew each other from a long time before.
We know they've had romantic relations in the past.
Before, yeah. And so they have romantic relations again on this station. And after this, they try to wake another member of the crew. Who never manages to comprehend what happens, so they always put her back, and she always forgets, so it starts again multiple times. And at the end, so how does he realize again? So he's talking to her.
I think in here, it's at one point he's just like,
I doubt.
We're a lot further
out. Oh, no, I remember. Okay. So he's looking around, and every person he sees, he's seen their face before in a crowd or something, and he realizes everyone on the ship is like something that's been in his mind. Yeah. So that's when he realizes this could be fake or simulation. And that's when he confronts Greta and she tells him, this is a complete simulation. You're still in your pod right now.
Yeah.
And this is the big reveal. It's like he demands that she shows him where he is. And then he comes out of the pod and he's like completely old and surrounded by weird insect alien creatures that are disgusting.
Yeah, it's like, it's just, so we go from this simulated reality to what the reality actually is.
Yeah.
And that's the... It's basically...
And the ship is completely destroyed.
Like destroyed. And him coming out, he's like really thin. He's an old man. But there's like... It's like just looks like an apocalyptic wasteland.
Really. Yeah.
There's just like
trash
everywhere. Exactly. And everything's broken down. And obviously a lot of time has passed. And then it kind of pulls back to show us this...
This whole aspect. Yeah. But the whole story ends with... Him back in the simulation, and he comes out of his pod, and he meets Greta again.
Yeah.
So basically, he's been in the simulation for so long.
Yeah. So that does tell us that indeed the story does rewrite.
And this is quite a crazy end turn. Like I wasn't expecting it at all. It kind of springs on you.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that the animation, that's where the episode of the animation did it best.
Mm-hmm.
The visual yeah. impact that has a huge impact on me, at least. I was so shocked when the monster came out, I mean, the alien came out, and he was just so old and completely disheveled, I guess. But the book kind of describes it. It describes it well.
I'm going to say the way that, like, physically, the way that
this, it's described, yes, yeah, some creatures.
Similar, and, like, it says, like, it's these, like, web things, and with, yeah, there's a... We've got some nice background sounds
today. We're not in the usual spot.
Yeah, we've moved to a bigger studio.
But yeah,
it's described
very well. But I thought that it couldn't compare to the animation quality. Yeah,
but I think that's never possible, especially when it's a short.
And the music as well. I thought those were the two best.
That's what you said to me. One of the first things you were like, the music in this was really
the music in the episode and the animation were just very good. Yeah. And the rest, like the plots, the character development, all that is better in the story.
Yeah.
So I think those are the main aspects.
Which, I mean, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
Obviously, with
that's the way it should be.
Visual, you can do a lot better in terms of audio and visual.
Yeah.
But then with the book, they're also just able to dive into so much more detail and
in the book, thought
and stuff, which is so hard to illustrate.
Yeah. Well, keeping it so short as well.
Yeah. We have a bit of a weird format, but it's probably like a 60-page.
Yeah, I'd say it takes like an hour or two to read. Yeah. Quite short.
Yeah.
But yeah, and the main, I thought that the literary devices were well used. Like sometimes the paragraph becomes a flashback and you don't really realize it until you're reading the paragraph.
Yeah.
So it goes from paragraph to paragraph and it's very well done.
Yeah.
Like he's talking to Greta and suddenly he's trying to get his, other crew members out of the pod, like talking to them, but it doesn't work. So he goes back.
And then, and you kind of realize as you go along
that this,
what's happening.
Yeah, you're like,
there's something a little off.
Yeah, but it's kind of, the story really gets you where it wants you to go.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you think you've come to the conclusion, but it's actually the story who wants you to arrive there. I thought that the most interesting character was Greta.
Yeah.
It's such a...
Because she's also the one who's the puppet master
of the story. But she acts very well in the whole, like, she's like, oh... Fancy seeing you here, all this stuff. And it's like, oh, you know.
What did you think of the dialogue? Because
I thought it was very, quite basic.
Basic, yeah.
But I thought it was quite to the point as well. Like, there's no, oh, how are you doing, all that stuff. It's like, hey, I'm Greta. Welcome to my ship.
Hey, I'm Greta. Maybe that's also just a bit more indicative of this time, which obviously in the future, they're just more direct. Because you need to get stuff done.
And I thought the world, even the world building, even though there's not that much description, was very good. Like, he talks about how a man has rotten teeth.
Yeah.
And he says it's very hard to have in this time, and I respect a man of that art. And I was like, whoa, this is really interesting.
Yeah, it was weird that that is then seen as this... I don't know if he was joking a bit, but...
I think it was like the world, like some people try to have... like now it's like tattoos or something, like, oh, he has nice tattoos. Maybe in the future it's like, oh, he has ugly teeth.
A way to stand out.
Good on him.
Yeah.
Which I thought was great.
Yeah.
The whole science behind the whole... transport system, I guess, was also pretty interesting. I didn't understand all of it.
No, and with stuff like that, that's also why I don't like science fiction that much. When there's a paragraph, I'll sometimes just even skim through it.
I thought it was well done here.
Yeah, they didn't go too complicated.
Yeah, I thought the description was just like, this is how you get from point A to point B.
Yeah.
You got to use these weird runes.
Yeah.
And it really kind of lost me there. But some science fiction books are real good.
Yeah. I'm not sure if you picked up on that. I think it's in the very end.
But, oof, I like these.
They talk about, and it's shown, which I saw it, but it's very subtle in the episode, that on the, like, tanks in which they go to sleep, they have, like, artwork.
Oh,
Susie and...
I saw in the story, not in the animation. Do they have that also?
Yeah, it's on there.
Oh,
yeah.
I might rewatch it then.
Yeah. So Susie, who's the second crew member, and then the third crew member, whose name I don't even remember.
Bob or something? I don't know.
Something generic.
He's useless anyway.
But both of them had artwork on their... both of them had artwork.
Yeah, they paid extra to get artwork on their...
And the real interesting thing, at the very end, they say... Susie and that other guy wouldn't have died if it was just a short error, but because you went so far out, they died because the artwork was blocking like some sensors or something.
Oh, I didn't pick up on that. Ooh, that's interesting.
Yeah, and that's why they died.
Because he does mention it in the beginning of the story, like, oh, this is pretty cool, but then you just kind of skip past it.
But he says that he doesn't have it and he thinks it's a waste of money, and maybe that's also... And even maybe
that's the whole moral of the story, don't spend your money. You
know? Yeah, or it's with the teeth, like... Art, and with the conversation being so direct, art and beauty and things like that no longer matter in this futuristic world. It's just
utility.
Getting to the point in utility, exactly. Yeah.
And maybe that's why the alien as well is so ugly, yet so caring, I guess.
Yeah.
It's the appearance doesn't matter, it's how you do things.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Greta is extremely creepy, especially in the animation.
Yeah.
In the book, I was that, like, scared, I guess. I wasn't like, whoa, this is disgusting.
Yeah, because it's hard to imagine the way that they made it in the series. That's hard to, like, imagine in your mind's
exactly, heart. But the animation is very well done. And also, you start, like, thinking, like, oh, did they have romantic relations? And that's, like, this creature what Greta was?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what shocked me the most.
In another way? Or is it... Just is she able to make him, experience physical things too in the simulation?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But then, yeah, and he at one point he knows the simulation, and then he said, I tasted the wine, and expecting it to taste bad, but it still tasted like good wine.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a good line. And
I think at that point he kind of accepts, like, it's a simulation.
But I'm okay with it.
I can go on doing that. Yeah. That's fine.
That's pretty, like... It's kind of like human nature.
There's a lot of moments like that where he's gets, like, big news and then he just kind of accepts it right away.
Yeah.
Like just with Katarina dying as well.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. But it shows that he's not that attached, I guess, to the outside world. Yeah. Another point I thought interesting between the two, animation and movie, is the realization. So we said the realization in the book is when he sees the faces, which I thought was a great point. Like simulations use your own mind to create these stories.
Mm-hmm.
But in the animation, I thought that was a terrible reveal. Like he starts freaking out and he, like, puts her against a window and he's like, show me the truth, show me the truth. And then she appears.
She just kind of tells him, like, yeah, I didn't tell you the full truth.
Yeah.
And then he's like, well, show me. And she's like, you're not ready. And then, you know, she shows him.
And he's like, show me anyway.
Yeah.
Whereas in the book, she's like, oh, you're not ready. And he's like, I think I'm ready, just tell me. And stuff like, and he's very calm about it.
And he comes to it on his own rather than her telling him.
Yeah, exactly. I thought that was, it was a lot better in the book for that point. But yeah, I thought it's quite a small world, but you can imagine a lot more be built on around that.
This is just a little snapshot of one thing which happens,
I guess. Yeah, yeah. But it'd be such an interesting world to explore as well. Like, the way they go through the universe in these, like, weird rune lines from aliens that they don't know anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah,
this technology they use, they stress a couple of times that it's not human technology.
Yeah, and that...
But it's something they don't even know how it works that well. Yeah. It's some alien technology.
Except the rune masters, I guess. People who know how to use these runes to get from place to place. Which is Susie. Yeah. in this crew. And yeah, Susie plays quite an important role as well. It's almost like romantically because he always... Every time he talks about her, it's a compliment.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh, she's so smart, these things, so beautiful. And he's like, oh, is Greta jealous? And he, like, questions that, but then you never know, which I thought was also a good guessing game, especially in a short story.
Yeah.
I guess short stories, I don't know if that's a general trope of the short story genre, but it's, like, most short stories have an open ending, so you're, like, at the end, you're, like, oh, what could happen next, you know?
Or short stories are more just a description of a world.
Yeah, like...
With showing an event, which...
Yeah. Has occurred.
Yeah, but it kind of just makes... It also makes you feel... A little dissatisfied, I'd say, because there is nothing more.
Especially with the Kafka, the one that we've talked in a previous episode. Before the law. That one was very... left me on my...
And that was also more of just an event within a world, but it's really more about the world.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, everyone has their own door, and he has his...
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, I want to learn more now. Yeah, you kind of want Kafka to write more books about the same thing, but then it's just a short story, so it's left up to you. I guess maybe some people really like that. I guess, learning their own, having their own plot in their mind, you know, like, this is why this happened. And I guess that's why it's good to debate as well, so we see each other's perspective.
And also just the short story format.
It's
just more convenient.
It's very practical.
Yeah.
Also, all of the short stories that we read on the podcast can be found online, so if you guys want to search it up
maybe on PDF. Maybe we should do a little more of, like... Next episode, we're going to be discussing this so that if people want to, they can
search it up. But I guess they can just pause and then just read it if you guys want, you know.
Yeah.
Get that 10-minute view and then pause. But it's like, this one's called Beyond the Aquila Rift. It's quite famous now because of the show.
Because of the show, yeah.
Yeah, but I've read a couple of reviews on it. Apparently, people have read it before. It was like, it came out a long time ago. It was quite a big deal. It came out in a collection of short stories. About from Alistair Reynolds about the science fiction, and then it became, I guess, a good short story to read because of the TV show. Right. I'd also recommend the TV show. It was very good.
Are all the episodes based on short stories? Or?
I don't think so, but all of them are very similar in the way that it's very short to watch. It's
this episode was 15 minutes.
Yeah, that's extremely short.
That's shorter than even like a comedy show.
Exactly.
Which are usually 20
minutes. But I thought I'd almost watched a movie after. I was like, okay, yeah. It was very nice. And all of the stories, some of them are humorous, some of them are very intense to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it balances itself out really well. Like a serious story will be followed by a comedy,
right.
Be followed by maybe a serious tone. But it's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, this one was the best, but I guess that's just my opinion. You know.
Yeah, and everyone who you talked to, but I was there with the discussion about the series, said that they was like, oh, which one did you like? And it was like, oh, yeah, the Aquila.
Yeah, Rose, and then you remember one. Another one.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, that one was great too, yeah. I'd recommend you watch a few more as well.
Yeah, I'll definitely give it a watch.
But yeah.
Especially since it's such a short format.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Have we covered the whole story?
I think we have.
I think we have. This was
a good episode. A bit all over the place, but I think
we've connected it all at the end.
Yeah.
Well, I thank you for listening.
Are we going to wrap it up like that? No, next episode or?
I was going to say that.
Okay.
Next episode, the big one, number 10. Yeah.
But be prepared 10 weeks for that in to a take, row. You know, be, well, not 10 weeks in a row.
We have almost. They won't know.
Be prepared for like maybe even a 2-week break.
Yeah, because we need to read and watch the movie. Yeah.
So that might take some time.
And we will have our special guest, our Italian friend, that I will reveal his name in the next episode.
Yeah, so it'll be a big deal. Watch out for that one.
If you've been following us for a long time, you'll know.
We'll probably talk about a couple of book-to-movie adaptions, but mostly we'll focus on No Country for Old Men.
Yes, that's a...
So if you are interested in being involved before the podcast... Get involved with that No Country for Old Men book and movie...
It's extremely famous, so you'll find it online.
I think if you read it or watch it, you'll have something interesting in that podcast for you.
Yeah.
We'll also probably have an intro song by episode 10.
Oof, yeah.
And I'm very excited about that.
Me too.
Yeah.
Don't judge us too much when it comes out.
It's a little bit cringy, but, you know, it's a work in progress.
We're doing our best.
Yeah.
We'll see you next time.
And thank you for listening to this episode of the Book Boys Podcast.